Hello, welcome back to Core Finance. I'm Matt Brown. It gives me great pleasure, as always, to introduce Bill Blaine, strategist at Mint Partners, back onto the show. Good day to you, Bill.
Good morning.
We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly in the world today, certainly with a few on the market. Starting off with the good. Well, what's good out there at the moment?
Okay, let's think about the good, positive things that are happening out there just now. We've got, generally around the globe, we're seeing central banks moving to this macro alignment. They're all starting to raise interest rates because they all see signs of growth. And they're all beginning to anticipate that by putting up rates. This time next year, I think we're going to see most of the world with higher rates. Now, you're asking, is that a good thing? Well, yeah, it is, because it shows that we're normalizing and we're starting to see the global economy expand. We've also got a number of good more micro types of issues. Like at the moment, there is an exchange for Greek bonds going on. Who would have thought that we'd get to a stage where you have almost a solution beginning to appear in Greece. Now, when I say solution, Greece is not fixed. There are all kinds of things still to be done, but it's the beginning of a path. So that's another positive thing.
Unemployment, you know, globally.
Unemployment globally. It's we seem to be running into employment constraints all around the UK. You know, we are seeing loads and loads of firms now struggling to hire. It's the same in the States. The interesting thing is, and this is where we start to go in from the good to the bad, even though we apparently have full employment, we are not seeing wages rise. And there's an interesting thing I'd bring up there in the UK. In the last 5 years, across the whole of the UK, we've seen house prices increase how much?
Well, it's pretty much flat. I mean,
actually over 5 years we've seen a 50% increase.
Over 5 years, sorry.
50% increase over 5 years, 8%, you know, rolling. Have we seen wages rise anything like the same way? No, we've not. So we've got clear mismatch going on. And that leads us into a second thing, which is, why do we have such growing income inequality in the country? And where is that going to lead? You know, people's wages have remained stagnant. We haven't seen inflation. But then, just last week, I was strolling towards a meeting, picked up the Evening Standard, and there in the front page is railwaymen getting a 28% pay rise. Now, does this mean we're beginning to go into the inflationary mode? A lot of people are saying that we are not seeing inflation. There's people looking at one of the most critical graphs you can look at is the yield curve. And the yield curve is compressing.
Yes.
Now, that would tend to suggest that we don't expect inflation. And why would we not expect inflation in the US? Because we might be heading into the next slowdown, even a recession. That doesn't go very well with the story we've just been telling when it comes to the good factors. So we're now into the bad, and there's a little bit of a wobble going on. People say, looking at the shape of the yield curve and saying, are we going to have recession next year? And also in the bad sector, you have a kind of loss of momentum in the stock market story that we've seen over the last couple of months. Now, let's think this through. The big surprise in the stock market this year, to many of us who are old enough to remember the great crash of 1990, when the Nikkei went from 40,000 down to 20,000 and then even lower, has been the resilience of the Nikkei in the last couple of months.
Incredible moves to the upside.
And what's happened in the last week?
We've seen the Nikkei
6% down. A little bit of momentum. All the foreign players who've come in the last month suddenly standing on the sidelines again going, have I just bought the top of the market? It's that feeling. But I think we're also going to see the same thing. As you know, I've been predicting some kind of correction, not a crash, but a correction in the global stock markets, because they just feel a little bit overvalued, a little bit frothy. And for there to be further upside, we need to see a dip. But of course, there's so many people buying the dips that it stayed high. I think we're running out of momentum in the global stock markets. And that then brings us into almost the ugly scenario.
The downright ugly corner.
Well, in the ugly corner, at the shallow end of the ugly pool, we have what I call the bond decompression trade. At the moment, because bond markets have been rallying so strongly since the global financial crisis, In fact, bond markets have been rallying for 30 years, and the rally we've seen since 2008 is really just a continuation of that. We've seen bond markets rally spectacularly. The spreads between different risk classes in the bond market have compressed dramatically. We now see high yield, or as we used to say, junk. Yes. Why is it called junk? Because you won't get your money back.
Yes.
We've now seen junk spreads compress to somewhere in the region of 200 basis points over Treasury. Now, we're beginning to see that sort of break up.
Mm-hmm.
The really ugly end of the junk market has widened considerably. The sort of safer end of the junk market, that's the part where there's a chance you might get your money back, it's begun to wobble a little bit as well. But across the whole credit spectrum, we're seeing all kinds of worries that maybe the market's become too frothy. And this brings us into the sort of middle of the ugly end of the market. And one of the things there to watch is GE.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I were a lad, GE was the AAA corporate. It was the corporate bond market.
Mm-hmm.
GE could command its own pricing in the market, coming very
tight.
It was
tight almost like a sovereign.
It was almost like the sovereign state of General Electric. It could get away with practically anything. Yes. Now, we're seeing GE's stock price under serious crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the company forced to announce massive divestitures and a focus on really small number of core areas, and even then we're not convinced they're going to stick in things like aviation. And you're beginning to see people worry about them in the bond market as well, because there's just that sense of, oh no, this has all gone terribly wrong.
Mm.
If one of the market benchmarks like GE can get into this kind of truck crisis, who else do we need to worry about? And remember, over the last 8 years, we've seen American corporates go out and borrow a phenomenal amount of money, not for building new plant or capital expenditure or new factories or the creation of jobs, but largely to buy their own stock back.
Share buybacks.
Which has been pushing up the stock market, which takes us back to the merely bad stuff, which is the stock market's inflated by that. If we see concerns about leverage in the corporate sector rising, and remember we have still massive leverage in the consumer sector, whether it be auto loans or housing or student loans, these are all things to be a little bit concerned about. And then we get into the really, really ugly stuff, and fortunately not an area I spend most of my time playing in, but I do have a team within Mint who are doing emerging markets, and they're just trying to work out how messy and how ugly the Venezuela default is going to be. I'm not sure I can say default, because officially they're still paying, but they haven't paid the bonds that were supposed to paid, and to me, that looks like default.
Well, on that note, Bill Blaine, strategist and Mint Partners, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.